All right, take your Bible this morning, Psalm 33. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the hope whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. There's another verse that I like, Jeremiah 4, verse 2. The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. In these days of national strife and international confusion, we see the seeds of hatred are being cultivated in the hotbeds of religious and military uneasiness. We see Britain going out of the European theater, European market. It's kind of interesting. I remember when that all happened, the Bible scholars, everything got real excited because, you know, the Bible talks about the ten that will make an allegiance with themselves. And so everybody said, there it is right there. There's ten. But now they got trouble because England's out of it. So now they're going to rewrite a few sermons. Amen. But there's some crazy stuff going on in this world. It seems like a week goes by without some kind of terrorism happening in America or happening in the world. And let not your heart be troubled. I want to remind you that these things have to be before the coming of the Son of Man. These things are happening. They have to happen. You pick up your papers like reading Ezekiel, like reading Daniel, like reading the last chapters of Matthew, reading Revelation, the crazy things that are happening, things that we would never thought that ever happened when we were kids. Where some of you folks are a little older than kids now, but there's some things that are happening today that really are quite astonishing. And since this is coming our Independence Week here of 4th July, I am thinking about some things that are going on in our country and our world, and I thought, you know, the Lord, whether we like it or not, he raises up and takes down kingdoms and also leaders. God is still in the control room. It doesn't seem like that he's doing much, but I'll guarantee he's doing a lot of things. I found out this week he still answers prayer because there's a lot of prayers that I asked for, and God answered my prayers this week over certain things that didn't seem like very much, would seem very much to you, but it's great to me. And I'm sure God answers some of your prayers, didn't seem like very great to others, but it's great to you. That God is speaking to your heart and God is ready. You know, when we still stay by the stuff and stay reading the Word of God, it gives us an encouragement that we need. Let us throw back our shoulders and double up our fists that are rough with callous of honest toil. Stand up for true fundamentals of godly Americanism. I still love America. As though some people have tried to take us and make us into a government, I'm still an American, and I still love America, and I still believe that God can change the tide here, and God can do some great things. I also know that it's a win-win situation, because I know that if it doesn't, I'm going to heaven. And the trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ, and those that remain shall be caught up and ever be with the Lord. So I'm excited about that. That's win-win. If I don't, I know that God will continue to watch over and care for me. Did you know the Bible teaches us patriotism? Patriotism was a light that burns in the hearts of the faithful in midnight gloom. Sit down, please. Of the Dark Ages. And it was the torch that lit the fire of the Reformation. It was the rock which Western civilization was founded on, patriotism. If our civilization survives these new onslaughts of moral impurity, and definitely impurity, it will be because of Christian patriotism. I'll tell you what, the left-wingers are not going to bring back God. They're not going to bring back. They don't want nothing to do with God. Because if they knew that there was God, they believe there is God, they have to obey God. And they won't do that. If our civilization is going to continue to go instead of crumble, it will be fueled by the lamps of truth provided by morals for the fight for freedom. America has many privileges, but America also has many great responsibilities. Sir Walter Scott struck a note in True Christian Patriotism when he wrote this. Breathe there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself has said, this is my own, my native land, whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned, from wandering on a foreign stand. If such there breathe, go mark him well, for him no minstrel rapture swells, high through the title, proud his name, boundless his wealth, as which was claim. Despite those titles, power and puff, the wretch concentereth all himself. Living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unkept, unhonored, and unsung. We as Christians ought to stand up and let people know that we love our country. This country began because men wanted to come here and freely practice the dictates of the Word of God. We didn't come here to plummet. We didn't come here to take away. We came here to find a place so that we have freedom to worship what we think the Bible teaches us to believe. With man-made creeds forgotten, we find common ground in the sublime truth of the old book. In the spirit of those brave men who crossed the seas to search for a free land in which they could worship their God according to the dictates of their hearts. Our freedom was obtained by a great price. It was first given to us by our forefathers who believed in God and prayed for life and freedom and died for that so that we could be free to worship the way we want. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'd like to tell some of them little babies that were sitting squatting in our Senate chambers the other day, hey, you're ordained to God, now act like it. We enjoy the benefits of land that is founded in faith and baptized in blood and dedicated to the freedom of worship. Let me mention some great ideas. We have made America the hub, the very center upon which the world revolves. I would like to stir up your souls with renewed national zeal and closer walk with God. How can we complain for those who are going against the principles of the Word of God when we won't even live by it? How can we complain when we don't even pray for our president or our Senate or our Congress? When's the last time you bathed your prayer in tears and said, dear God, please get the attention of these people? Let me tell you something, without which no nation can succeed. First of all, we need a renewed sense of gratitude. I need a renewed sense of gratitude. It's pretty bad when we only celebrate Thanksgiving one day of the year. I don't think that's enough. Americans thank God every day that we live in a land of freedom. Every day we should thank God for the sacrifice and the blood and the sweat and the privation, even death, on the part of the multiplied thousands of heroic dead that died for us. I've been in countries all over this world. There's no country like America. Nothing like it. Had it not been for the men and women who stood the test, we'd be standing between the iron hand of fascism and Nazism. And we might not be commemorating their sacrifice. Instead, we might be goose-stepping our heels and stormtroopers and taking our orders from the Bible, but from a Mein Kampf. Might be our textbook. Instead of blending our voices and singing "My Country 'Tis of Thee," we might be hailing and saluting a swastika. Let us bow our heads in humility and our hearts in reverence and gratitude to the merciful God who has brought us national deliverance. I tell you, we're at the brink of something crazy. Some of us old timers are looking at it and say, yeah, I remember in the 60s. I remember the Ohio State. I remember all the crazy stuff that went on. How the National Guards had to come in and quell the craziness. Let me tell you something. You better buckle down and you better take a couple of Valiums, because I'll tell you what, if we get the president that most of us conservatives hope we get, there's going to be a lot of liberals who are going to go ticked off. And they're going to do something. You say, oh, preacher, you want to talk about Missouri last year? The chaos, craziness. And I'll tell you how crazy it is. Just last week, the court said that man was not guilty of the man dying in his van. That's how crazy it is. And boy, you listen to the news and it was all against them. We're in trouble. Listen now, we're in trouble. You need to be praying. You need to be begging God, because I'll tell you what. When the first Tuesday of November comes around and that conservative gets in, if he gets in, because he's got a lot of people that say, well, I'm not even going to vote. Boy, that's really brilliant. That's how you got your last president in. You didn't vote. Millions of Christians didn't vote. Millions of Christians that blaspheme the man's name today, they didn't vote. Get out and vote. You say, I'm not registered. Register. Vote your conscience. I'm not telling you who to vote. Vote your conscience. You believe in gay marriages? You believe in abortion? Well, I pretty much take care of it right there. You say, you're talking political. I'm talking common sense. Get out and vote. You say, well, I can't make it on Tuesday. Then get a absentee vote ballot and write it out, send it in. But vote. We're in a crisis in America. I look at all you parents with all these little babies running around here. There are more tricycle motors around here than I know what. Your kids are going to grow up to that. And it is our responsibility to do right. We have an opportunity. We have a choice to make. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. Up here in Montana, it doesn't make a difference. The votes are already cast and whoever. No, it matters. It matters. Let's bow our heads in humility and our hearts in reverence and gratitude to the merciful God who brought us national deliverance before. And He can bring it again. Amen? He can bring it again. Yes, He can. By the way, we're not voting a pastor in. We're voting a man that's going to keep us safe, willing to put his foot down, doesn't care what anybody else says. Well, number two, we should be grateful for the righteous birth of our native land. This is where it all comes from. Other nations were born of blood and plummeting and conquest, not America. Our nation was conceived in noble hearts and courageous, righteous men and women. This country is born out of prayer. Number three, we should be grateful for our natural, industrial, scientific resources that we have been blessed with. Because of our giving God his rightful place on the onset of our national life. God smiled, and gold poured out of the rocky crags of the Golden West. God smiled, and amid the wide acres of grain sprang up in the soil of the Middle West. God smiled, and the picturesque hills of the east yielded black gold in ample abundance to warm our hearts and turn the wheels of industry all. Texas tea, that is. God smiled, and the automobile and the airplane and thousands of and one industrial miracle took place. And most of us seen these with our very eye. That never before, now they're here. God smiled as he seen old glory had never dipped her colors into the atheistic, God-hating, man-slaving country. And I'm telling you what, we're close to it. Stay the course, brothers. God smiled and scientists brought to us the atomic and the nuclear bombs that are destined to be the paradoxical instruments of destruction to save men from destruction. I'm hearing people saying that we should say that to Japan, we're sorry. Are you kidding me? Sorry for what? You go over to the Philippines, my dear friend, Dr. Ed Lorena, he took me up. It was right after 9/11. We were stuck there in the country for 6 extra days, and he said, "Preacher, I want to take you to some place that's very sacred to my heart." And in Manila, there's a huge mile after mile of white crosses. Have you been there? My heart just whoa. And he said, "Brother Shear," he says, "you see these? These is your fathers." He said, "that gave their price to save our country from the Japanese." He said, "I saw them take babies and throw them up. The Japanese would catch them with a pitchfork." He said, "I hate them." He said, "I'm sorry. And God knows my heart, but I still hate them." And right then, here comes a car. A guy pulled in. And he looked a little Japanese. And Ed Lorena, here's a man who's got a church of 10,000 people. He got out of his car and he walks up to this guy and says, "Are you Japanese?" And the guy said, "No, man, I'm Korean." "Okay." He turned around. I said, "Ed, what was that?" He says, "Well, they have no right to come here to what they did to my family." And that's when he told me they'd take babies away from their mothers and throw them up and catch them with a pitchfork and kill them. Cut the throats of their babies and put it in the blood in a hog trough and hold their father's face down in the hog trough and drown him in their baby's blood. You want to meet me? Say I'm sorry to Japan for dropping those bombs? Thank God they dropped those 3 bombs. And we'd probably still be at it. You say, "But preacher, that's so hard." Hey, come on now. Let's be honest. The world is trying to whitewash our history, trying to change it and turn everything. You know, they're saying bad things about George Washington. They're saying bad things about Abraham Lincoln and on. And then they're raising up Stalin and all these other guys and say they were great guys. How warped? How warped are we getting? Today, because America, we have people that the Louis Pasteurs and the salt and all those men who the sulfur drugs and all the things we've got, that came from America, folks. Come from America, from men that were God loving. We even got peanut butter from a great old George Washington Carver, a black man. Great, brilliant man. We are so big. They don't teach that anymore. Today we stand in precarious position in regard to our national life. Our nation has turned her back on the Almighty God, and we have involved the frown of the Almighty God. And of course, must be and should be such to keep heaven's smile upon our country. We must keep in the straight and narrow and prayfully seeking guidance of God. Dear God, every morning I pray, dear God, I pray for our elections. I pray that people will stand up and do what's right. Instead of being so apathetic and say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Unless we do, our nation is on a way, as all other nations in past history, into oblivion. It is the approval of God that makes a country great, not men, not horses. It is not the genius of statesmen, not merely our American form of government, nor the energy of its people, but the level of national morals and depths of national faith in God. That's what makes America great. No serried ranks with flags unfurled, not armored ships that gird the world. Not hoarded wealth, nor busy mills, not cattle on a thousand hills, nor sages wise, nor schools, nor law, not boasted deeds of freedom's cause. All these may be, and yet the state, in the eye of God, be far from great. That land is great which knows the Lord, whose songs are guided by His word, which justice rules twixt man and man, where love controls in art and plan, where breathing in her native air, each should find joy in praise and prayer. Thus may our country good and great, but God's delight, man's best estate. We should be thankful for our homes. And use our homes as a hotbed, as a greenhouse to train our children how to live, how to act, how to pray, how to read their Bible every day, how to choose between the right and the wrong. We also need a conscious of our public responsibility. America is no stronger than its weakest citizen. And boy, that scares me, amen. The truth put a tremendous responsibility upon every one of us. Will Rogers said, America is a great country, but we can't live in it for nothing. The forces of the anti-Americanism, the anti-Christianity are at work in our beloved country. Most of their work is sinister and undercover. I don't understand how they can get away with it. I don't understand how they can just stand right up in that TV and lie straight at you. You're wondering about that. How do you do that? I can't do that. Most of their work is sinister and undercover. But like leaven, they will seek eventually leaven the whole lump of this whole world, and supplant the regiment and centralized totalitarianism for our old-fashioned, red-blooded, stalwart Americanism. This leaven is atheism, found in high places as well as low. All the world's history, no nation has ever survived a moral collapse. When Rome, with its zenith and her power and glory, sin started to eat at her like a canker at the heart and her national morals. Her politicians became weak, flabby, spineless. She became morally weak and spiritually depraved. One night while Roman politicians were engaged in shameful drunken orgies, in the result time of Pompeii, the fire of God's judgment finally, when raging down far distant bowels of famous Mount Vesuvius. As the night wore on, the sin of debauchery became more pronounced in Pompeii. There came a weird, sickening rumble from the adjacent mountain. For years, Vesuvius had been quiet and asleep, but the hour of God's judgment had arrived. As the revelers continued their sinful indulgence, Vesuvius quivered like a mighty quake. And the top of that volcano blew completely away, and a surging river of flame, molten rock poured down that mountain in a death-dealing torrent. There was no escape. The doors of God's judgment were closed on these Roman renegades. As the lava swiftly overwhelmed the city, 25,000 people were buried beneath the flood of molten rock. It was the beginning of Rome's end of a nation. It all began with sin and lust, supplanted the love of God. And when gratification of lower appetites took place of noble character. Egypt was once the center of world culture. Their scientists were way ahead of scientific knowledge and research of even today. But Egyptian civilization floundered upon the rocks of immorality and depravity, and today she is in the league behind other nations which have striven to give God his rightly place in their national development. Every American in these days of confusion and moral crisis has an individual responsibility to God and his country. Proverbs 14:34, write it in the back of your Bible. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God have mercy on our souls. We're living in a country that's just full of debauchery. It's full of just filth and venom. But I'll tell you what, there's an old church on the corner of 10th Avenue North and 52nd Street believes that God can still do something great. You say, I'm really discouraged about hearing that sermon. I'm not. I'm challenged. I'm challenged to do more. I'm challenged to pray more. I'm challenged to tell more about people about Jesus Christ. I'm challenged more to invite people to come to church. Hey, listen, what this country needs is a bunch of little churches like this go around and preach the gospel and just shake a few people's heads and get them right with God and get them going. Amen. That's all we need. We just need to, you know, years ago there was a Frenchman that came to our country and wanted to know why this country is so great. He was the late 1800s, I believe. And he said it wasn't because of the great Senate and Congress. It wasn't because of the great minds of this. He said, I'll tell you what, it's all those little churches in all those hamlets and villages that are preaching the gospel and teaching their children to live right, teaching their children it's not right to lie, teaching their children it's not right to cheat, teaching their children it's not right to kill, teaching their children it's not right to be jealous of other people's stuff. It was teaching them to do right and live right and have clean hands and serve God, work hard, go to bed, get up, work hard, go to bed, get up, work hard, and go to bed and live for God. Hey, you know, I challenge you. I challenge you to spend, man, just give our country 10 minutes a day. Just 10 minutes a day and pray for our president. If God can save Nebuchadnezzar, if God can save Saul of Tarsus, God can save our president. But you don't want him saved. You want to get him to get what's his. That's a pretty rugged attitude. Every time you talk about against him, you ought to be praying for him. You ought to pray more for him than what you say against him. I know. I don't like it. I don't like what's going on. That's not the way this is not the America that I grew up in. America I grew up in, when you see a police officer, you stopped, you offered him your hand, and you were very kind to him. The America I grew up in, you respected ladies. You respected your elders. You were careful not to take advantage of people. You paid your bills. You didn't expect people to pay your bills for you. You paid your own bills. And if you didn't have it, you didn't buy it. You didn't need it, you didn't buy it. That's America. We are so in debt. Most families are in debt to the hilt. And when something comes up to help, they couldn't help if they wanted to. Certain things we don't need. The Bible says you owe a debt. The debtor is a servant to the lender. God help us. God help us to do right. God help us to not expect others to do our job for us. God help us to be men and women to get it done. I mean, it starts in the home. It starts when you get up from the table. You pick your table stuff up and put it to do a wash it. You delegate some boys or girls to wash it for you. Or you buy a Katie. That's a dishwasher. We never got our girl in our home, so we got a Katie, and that's our dishwasher. But somebody's got to take them out of the dishwasher. Somebody's got to put them in there. Somebody's got to clean up. Somebody's got to vacuum. Somebody. You leave it. Live in a pigsty. That's pretty. You say, well, that's easy to do. No, it's not. After a while, you got to start climbing over it. You don't have a place to sit down. And then you're afraid to invite anybody over your house. You say, well, what's that got to do? I'll tell you what, it starts right in our homes. Start right in our home. God have mercy. I hope you don't take offense what I said today. I hope you take it to heart and say, you know what? I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. And I want to live for God. And I want to serve God. And I want to see my country come back to God. Don't you want to see our country come back to God? Oh, no. Just makes my heart break. Father, I don't know. Speak to our hearts today, Lord God. Please, God, be with America. Bring her back to you. We're in desperate need of revival. We're in desperate revival in our own church. Some people don't even think it's important to come to church. They don't think it's important to serve you. They don't think it's important to take care of business. Dear God, may it start here at Heritage. And God, that we would give ourselves completely to you. Heads about, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'll tell you what, that'll help our country right there. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I want to know, my friend, right where you're sitting, you can invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You realize you're a sinner. That's not too tough. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me. Simple as that. Simple, simple, simple. God made it simple so you receive Christ as Savior. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Will you pray for me? Would you lift a hand? Let me pray for you. Are you on your way to heaven? You know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Well, that's the most important thing of your life. Most important thing of your life. Let's all stand. Everyone standing. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that today. Why don't you come? Meet me up front and say, preacher, today I want to be saved. Everyone standing, let's come. Stand up. On your way to heaven? Have you ever asked Jesus in your heart? Have you ever done that? You're today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come at this time? You're today and you say, preacher, you know, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come? Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us. I pray that you'd help us as Americans, that we would serve you in a great and a marvelous way. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Kelly Wilkie here told me about his brother Curtis. He's going to be, where'd you say he's moving to, Curtis? Where's Curtis moving to?
Texas.
He's going down to Texas, and that really bothers him. He didn't want to move down there, but he's been really sick, and his wife is taking him down there, and so let's really pray for Curtis, all right? Well, God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock. You're dismissed.